Every medical student in the world has been obsessed with anatomy. In order to become a successful doctor, med students can't afford to skip over the tedious details of the body, how it's put together, how it functions, and what causes it to malfunction. Well, today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll continue a message introduced yesterday. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we find the defining passage on getting along in the family of God. Paul taught us that the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is in the body of Christ.
We are going through these living portraits of the church in these several messages, and we've looked at pictures already in our minds. We've looked at the church as a growing family. We've looked at the church as a flock of sheep. Next time, we're going to look at the church as a fruitful and productive vine. But today, the church is seen as a body. Now, if you've got your Bible open, let me give you some thoughts to hang on as we work our way through several verses of this chapter. I don't want to look at all the verses, and I don't want to look at any one in great detail, but let me give you the overall view of these verses 4 through 27 by suggesting they fall into two parts. Verses 4 through 11 seem to be emphasizing unity in the midst of diversity. For example, in verse 4, there are varieties of gifts, but there's the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God. He says again in verse 7 that it is all done for the common good. Once again, there's unity. And in verse 9, to another by the same Spirit, again, is unity. One Spirit, verse 9. Verse 11, by one and the same Spirit. The emphasis is on unity. But my emphasis falls on 12 through 27, where it seems as though Paul is underscoring diversity. There are all kinds of different things, any number of members within the body, but they are all part of the same unit. So I suppose we could say the emphasis in 12 through 27 is on diversity held together in unity. Now, with that in mind, let me give you three thoughts, three points as we work our way through 12 through 27 that I think will help explain some things about the church. Each of the three begins with the same statement, there are many parts. Now, again, think of the body. Think of a body with a head, hands, legs, feet, arms. Think of the glands, think of the organs, all of the different parts. And then with that in mind, let me give you three thoughts to go with it. First of all, there are many parts, but verses 15 through 20 teach us each one is important. Each one is important. Look at verse 12. Even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is the body of Christ. He sort of summarizes it in verse 14, the body is not one member, but many. Now keep that in mind. Just as your body is made up of all of these organs, all of these members, all of these things that make it coordinated and healthy, so the body of Christ is made up of all these many parts. Each one is important. Now, give yourself permission to smile a little as you go through 15, 16, 17 of this chapter. You'll see Paul gets a little bit ridiculous and even absurd to make his point. For example, he gives the foot vocal cords, and he allows the foot to talk. And he says in verse 15, if the foot should say, and so the foot, let's say, has feelings. Verse 15 tells us some of the feelings. Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body. Let's just assume the foot says that. But you and I know even though it may feel that way, it's a vital part of the body. Vital. In fact, it is an essential part of the body. Now here's another conversation that's going on in Paul's mind. He says, if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body. In other words, the ear is feeling sorry for itself. But if the ear just focuses on itself, comparing itself to the eye, before long it begins to think, I'm not that important. I'm not a vital part of the body. Is it for this reason any the less a part of the body? You know where this is going? Has nothing to do with ears. Has nothing to do with eyes. Nothing to do with feet or hands, any more than the dirt had to do with real dirt in Jesus' story. This is about you and me. Imagine the body of Christ without you. And for those who are given to the body to be the mouths who speak, think of the vital role of teaching among the family of God and showing mercy to those who hurt. Just as we should not discount our role, neither should we compare ourselves with those who happen to have gifts that don't happen to be ours. That's what it's teaching. In fact, if you think it was humorous in verses 14 and 15, you're in for a real surprise when we get to verse 17. If the whole body were an eye. Are you ready for this? 6'2" round eye, big eyebrows. There's 1,000 absurd thoughts you can have with this absurd illustration, and it's absurd on purpose. Do you know there are some who say what the church really needs is just good teaching? What the church really needs is just a good music program. That's what a church is all about. What a church really needs is just a good youth program. The rest is not that important. Or what the church needs really is just a pulpit. I don't know why we get involved in all those other things. It's because the church is not just an eye. It is multiple gifts, multiple people involved in diverse things because God is in all the variety. He's pleased with the variety. Just as you are made up of eyes and ears and nose and mouth and head and neck and right on down, so the body of Christ. And if the eye isn't enough to make you smile, look at the next one. If the whole were a hearing, were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? 6'2" ear. Oh! I mean, I know some ladies that don't like their ears, and so they wear their hair to cover their ears. Imagine having a whole ear just hanging out there. Just kind of a lobe at the bottom bouncing around. It's kind of laying around like an ear. Now, it's designed to be funny. In fact, it says if the whole body were an eye, what would we ever hear? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? That's another one. The delightful smells that are about us. God has placed the members, each one of them. You know what name belongs there? Yours. Fellow Christian, you who have spent too many years of your life envious of somebody else and their gifts, you who have wondered if you're really all that valuable, all that important in God's eyes, look at what it says. God has placed the members, and then he puts your name there, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are, here it is again, many members, all of them important, one body. One medical doctor paraphrased what I've just read and put it in these terms. The body is one unit, though it is made up of many cells, and though all its cells are many, they form one body. If the white cell should say, because I am not a brain cell, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the muscle cell should say to the optic nerve cell, because I am not an optic nerve, I do not belong to the body, It would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an optic nerve cell, where would be the ability to walk? If the whole body were an auditory nerve, where would be the sense of sight? But in fact, God has arranged the cells in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If all cells were the same, where would the body be? As it is, there are many cells, but one body. When the Lord was designing His body, the body of Christ, He put you in it on purpose to fill your role, to exercise your gifts. Just as you expect me to exercise my gifts and the teacher of your adult fellowship to exercise his or her gifts, just as you expect music people to do their music and to do it well, so all of us that you may know about expect you to do your part in the body. You have your helping. You have your giving. You have your mercy. You have your skills. You're important in all the parts of the body. Now, second, there are many parts, and they are all interdependent. Be careful that you hear that word correctly. Not independent, interdependent. That's like our human bodies. We are all interdependent. My brain says to my hand, touch the pulpit, and it cooperates. My eye looks in a direction, and it telegraphs need to my brain, and I sense a need for arms to be placed around a person shattered in grief, and my hands and arms cooperate and put themselves around that person and hold that individual close. It's all part of the interdependence of the members of the body. Now look at this. 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Swindoll paraphrase. Listen, you five-fingered slab of flesh, who needs you? Who needs you? Well, it can't say that. On the contrary, the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, says verse 22. Why? Do you know that the eye can't touch anything? If it does, it hurts it. The eye can only see. It needs the hand to touch. Look at the next illustration in 21. The head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. Swindoll paraphrase. Hey, way down there, you guys stuffed into socks and tucked away in the dark, sweaty caves of leather, you're fired. You can't speak or smile or hear. Furthermore, you stink and you're ugly. The head can't say that to the feet, because attractive or not, who can get along without feet? That is, like they once could. One man writes, I find the bones designs most impressive in the tiny jewel-like chips of ivory in the foot. 26 bones line up in each foot, about the same number as in each hand. Even when a soccer player subjects these small bones to a cumulative force of over 1,000 tons per foot over the course of a match, his living bones endure the violent stress, maintaining their elasticity. Imagine that. Not all of us leap and kick, but we do walk some 65,000 miles in a lifetime, more than 2.5 times around the world. Our body weight is evenly spread out through architecturally perfect arches, which serve as springs, and the bending of knees and ankles absorbs the stress. Isn't that beautiful? You question the need for feet? Sprain an ankle. Tear a ligament. How about in the middle of the night when you get up to tippy-toe across the bedroom floor to go to the bathroom and you stub your toe? Woo! You feel like the local martyr. all alone there, hanging on to your little toe. But I thought the toe wasn't that important. Oh, indeed. As a matter of fact, verses 23 and 24 really are verses that say those members that we tend to give less honor are in fact far more important and deserving of honor than we ever think about or give to them. In fact, with that in mind, the purpose of it all is 25, that there should be no division. I love that. No breakdown in the body, no disharmony, that the healthy body would work together, and that the members should have the same care for one another. Well, that's ideal. Not just in a human body, but in the body of Christ. That there is compassion, understanding, weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice. That's what the next verse is all about. If one member suffers, verse 26 begins, all the members suffer. I got a living, vivid illustration of that several weeks ago when I decided I would do the wash. Cynthia was gone. I thought, I'll be Mr. Mom. I'll go in the washroom. I'll do the wash. I got to understand, I live with a woman who has it organized. We have 3 wooden bins to hold the wash. The first holds whites. The second, towels. The third, colors. Now, I've washed before, and so some of our clothes don't look like they did originally when there was a correct categorizing. Some of the undergarments are not exactly white because they were washed with blue jeans, and I learned a vital lesson when I did that, I'll tell you. So I'm very careful now. I was going for the whites in a hurry, and I ran my hand down in the bin that holds the whites. And I got too close to the edge, and I drove a splinter under my thumbnail that started at my thumb and wound up at my ankle. It's about that long. Longest splinter that's ever gone into a human body went into my body. I thought, ah, ah! And I jerked it out, and I broke it off. I thought, I will die before she comes home. I am not going to make it through this experience. Where is God when I need Him? How will I ever endure this? And so I thought, tweezers. And so I go fumbling around to find the tweezers, and I find them. And I think, I have one chance at this. One chance. It's either this, major surgery, lose my whole thumb. Could be wrist, could be elbow, who knows? So I get the tweezers. Understand now, I'm bleeding profusely. Sweating. No one is there. And I get a hold of this thing, and I go, yeah! And I got it. A splinter came out of my hand. First thing I did was weigh it so that I could tell my wife. It didn't even register on the scale, but it was huge. It was just huge. I knew I wouldn't lose it because I'd stumble over it if I dropped it. It was so big. I showed it to her later, and she said, oh. Oh! My illustration has really nothing to do with our washing and our tweezers and my splinter. It has everything to do with when one little part of the body hurts, all the body hurts. Sitting next to you is a person whose splinters are about to kill them. And it's the best kept secret around, unless you get to know them. And then it's amazing how you might be the one God would use to help bring relief to the pain. Do you have any idea of those who struggle emotionally, so much so that they can't figure it out on their own, and they're too embarrassed to tell their class that they're getting professional help to get through this hellacious period where they even struggle with thoughts of suicide, and are Christians. And part of them is embarrassed about that. but they're bleeding profusely. It's just that you can't see the blood. And there are those who have children that are now almost grown or grown and gone and going nuts, and there's the heartache of being a parent but not being able to do anything about that. You think the people in the street care? Not on your life. How about those down at the shop? Are you kidding? How about those that work at the next desk? Or those that down at the Civic Center? City Council? The President? The Mayor? You know why they don't? Because they're not in the body. Only body cares for body. My son could look at my splinter and my thumb and feel for me, but he doesn't know what it's like. You may have never known the particulars that I have mentioned in your life, but you're there to say you care. And that's what the verse means when it says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer. That's what gives the church its dynamic. It's the only place on earth outside the family unit, and sometimes it doesn't even happen in the family, where one member cares for another member.
Whether it's a splinter in your thumb or a serious tragedy, no one is more prepared and willing to care for your plight than the family of God. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Finding Your Place in the Body. And please stay with us. We've allotted extra time to hear a closing illustration from Chuck about someone in God's family who inspires him. Now, to access today's complete sermon, go online to insightworld.org and look for the four-part series, Living Portraits of the Church. In the family of God, nothing brings more calm and reassurance than brothers and sisters in Christ who exhibit a strong measure of grace. Perhaps you've heard Chuck say, it's one thing to receive God's grace, it's quite another to live it. Well, Chuck wrote a booklet on this topic called It's Time to Embrace Grace. And if you've never contacted Insight for Living, we'd like to send you a free copy. If you're listening in the United States, just give us a phone call at 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/embrace grace. So when it comes to someone you admire for a stalwart walk of faith, who comes to your mind? Chuck Swindoll cites a good friend.
Those who exercise discipline in prayer inspire us, don't they? When we hear about their passion and their devotion, we're motivated to follow suit. Let me tell you about my friend Dodi Sasonga, who was born into a Muslim family. By God's grace, Dodi's father became a Christian, and afterward, Dodi accepted the Lord Jesus as well. Dodi attended Dallas Theological Seminary and studied as an intern at our church, Stonebriar Community Church, here in Frisco, Texas. Today he serves as a pastor in Indonesia, translating my messages for future Insight for Living broadcasts all across Indonesia and parts beyond. Dodi calls his wife, Elsie, a passionate prayer warrior. Well, because Dodi was teaching God's Word, this dear couple was bullied and threatened by local extremists. Near their new ministry office stood a century-old tree where witches had cast spells and sacrificed chickens to demons. It was an emblem, an icon of evil. But that wasn't all. Before long, an angry Muslim cleric threatened to personally burn down their office. Dodi and Elsie cried out to God, and he answered their passionate call for help. One day, that tree caught fire, and it went up in smoke and flames, including its roots deep into the ground. Poof! And it's all gone. Where darkness once dominated, God brought hope, healing, and salvation.
He's removing darkness in Indonesia all the way down to its roots. And God is working in your hometown and in mine as well. You see, it's real life stories like this one that remind us how powerful prayer really is. It's one of the reasons we put together a brand new spiral-bound personal prayer journal for you. It's called Passionate Prayer. God wants to work His will and purposes through you, my friend. Keeping a private and personal record will remind you often of His faithfulness. Here's how to get your copy of the prayer journal called Passionate Prayer.
An amazing illustration of the power of prayer. Thanks, Chuck. If you're listening in the United States, receive your copy of Passionate Prayer by calling 1-800-772-8888. If it's easier, just go online to insight.org. This spiral-bound prayer journal comes with our thanks for your much-needed donation of any amount. And your contribution goes directly toward providing Chuck's teaching on radio and over the internet. If you're listening in the United States, ask for your copy of Passionate Prayer when you call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. Listen again Monday when Chuck Swindoll talks about finding your place in the body of Christ here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Finding Your Place in the Body, was copyrighted in 1993, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.